T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We are back here on Sports Talk, getting ready for the Pelicans. Big game tonight against the OKC Thunder. Game two of that playoff series. Happy to welcome in NBA writer Ali Cosell to the radio huddle. How you been, Ali?
Hey, Steve, Charlie, I'm doing well. I'm excited about tonight, but I'm very curious to see how it goes at the same time, right? Because I don't know about you guys, but I don't honestly know what to expect.
No, I hear you on that. And one thing I heard from the players basically is, you know, a lot of the fans might have been complaining about there being too physical basketball right now, but everybody on the Pels is like, yeah, welcome to the playoffs. We welcome it. We're going to thrive in it, and we'll figure it out.
Yeah, I thought that the Pelicans actually, the composure was fine, right? For instance, when I saw Jose Alvarado get thrown to the ground, boy, if that would happen in the regular season, I'm pretty sure he would have thrown, you know, whoever threw him down right back. But they all took the shot. There was no technicals picked up. And, yeah, I felt like I said, the composure was fine until just like the last, what, 3.5 minutes, right? For some reason, all year, right, we've been talking about they can't finish in the clutch. And it happened again, you know, on Sunday night. So they've got to figure that out, because we knew that most playoff games, they're going to be close, and that's what it comes down to. You just got to make one or two shots, have one or two possessions go your way, and odds are you can probably win the game.
Hey, Ali, Mike Haas. I totally agree, but what was interesting to me is that there, you needed clutch shots in that third and fourth quarter to come back from being 10-11 down, and they did it a couple of times. If they don't make some clutch shots in those third and fourth quarter, there is no, you know, two-minute question mark. And so Right. They were able to do it, just not at the very end. But, man, I guess I've watched them play the Lakers, and I watched the kind of end of the season and who they match up with. And I look at Oklahoma City, and okay, number one seed. But I just feel like the Pelicans match up so much better with this Thunder team that I don't think they're the least bit, you know, kind of scared or intimidated by them.
No, I agree fully, Mike. I think that, honestly, this is probably even a better matchup for the Pelicans in hindsight than the Timberwolves would have been, right? So, yes, you don't have Zion Williamson, but look, you're as versatile as the Thunder. You still have multiple scorers. And the thing in your favor, really, is you're a much better rebounding team. You've got a real legitimate center in Jonas Valanciunas. And we saw the Pelicans really, and hats off to the coaching staff, they really got the players to play through Jonas more than they usually did in the regular season. Of course, crashing the glass, right? Those 18 offensive rebounds led to a lot more second chance points than the Thunder picked up. So if they could just control the Thunder from getting out in transition, that's what really hurt to me. You gave them 20 easy points. That's where the Pelicans, I think, only got 7. If you can keep that number somewhere, you know, similar, right? Say both teams are just one or 2 points away from each other in that category, I think the Pelicans will be in prime position to win this game. Thing for me is I'm wondering how the referees are going to call this game, because I've watched pretty much all the playoff games, at least parts of them, and this one by far was the most physical one. So are they going to probably maybe call a little bit closer and suddenly lead to more free throws, which I think, honestly, not only does it benefit Shea, but I think it would benefit Brandon, right? The way Lee Dort guarded him, he couldn't get any, you know, he had no airspace to even take a breath. So I think that's what I'm going to be watching for, because I really believe both teams are going to shoot better, right? The Pelicans, you already mentioned it, they're one of the best teams on the road all season, and they shot great away from home. Thunder shoot great at home. So both teams combined for like 40% from the field, 30% from three in that first game. I think that's an aberration. So for me, it's just, yeah, I'm going to look at the referee's whistle. Can BI get going? And like I said, can you just keep them from getting easy points? Then I think they'll have, seriously, a great chance to win this game.
Ollie, I think it's a great point because a lot of people kind of project OKC to have a really bounce back night as far as scoring goes. The over-under total from Vegas is, I think, around 212 or something like that right now. And after our 94-92 game one, that seems like a pretty big jump in scoring. And they kind of agree with you that it is a little bit of an aberration that OKC went 10-32, 31% from three, and 43% from the field overall. At the same time, I don't think people are considering enough that, yes, while OKC may have a bounce back night shooting wise, the Pelicans are right there too. Like, I saw so many different threes. Herb Jones was a perfect example, a guy that shot over 41% from three this year and was even better on the road than he was at home as far as three-point shooting goes. He goes 2-for-8, and a couple of those threes were like in and out, they rim out. Like, some of those are going to start dropping. And the Pelicans, who went 11-39 from three-point range, like, I think that they're going to make some more shots as well. That was kind of the key piece that Willie Green kept saying in the postgame was like, look, we just got to make our shots. And so while people think that OKC is going to have a bounce-back night from the field, I don't think people are really giving the Pelicans enough credit that they could have one as well.
Yeah, and that's a mistake on their part. Because if there's one thing the Pelicans do well, is they're going to hold most opponents most nights to shooting below their averages, especially from three-point range, right? They've done it the last two seasons. But still, even if OKC gets hot, I don't see any reason why the Pelicans cannot. Right? They shot 23 wide-open threes. They made just six of them. That's like 25-26%. In the regular season, they made about close to 40% of those type of shots. So you're right. I felt like every one of Herb Jones seemed to be in and out. But, you know, he wasn't alone. Najee had some. Jose, CJ. So somebody's going to get hot. I wouldn't be surprised if two players shoot pretty darn well, especially from three. And, boy, if you had just made two of those in the last game, you would have won that game. So it's not like you're asking for too much. Right? You don't need to go and shoot 50% from three. Because, like I said, you've got Jonas. You're going to beat them up on the glass. You should own the paint. There's a lot of advantages there.
The Jonas matchup's an interesting one, Ollie, because we talked about how poor Oklahoma City is as a rebounding squad. Something I kind of noticed late, I don't know if you saw it as much. I was just looking at what OKC was doing to kind of combat Jonas, and it felt like late in the game when Jonas would come in, they would sub Chet out, and they would put Jalen Williams, the center from Arkansas, the kind of more beefy guy in, to really battle with him on the boards. And when Larry was in, that's when Chet would come back in. And I think that's something to keep an eye on is the matchups underneath Jonas versus Jalen Williams, who got really physical at times with him, but Jonas still dominated with 20 boards. You kind of hope that he can do that more often in this series. And Chet Holmgren kind of getting those minutes when Larry's in.
Yeah, look, Chet's going to have to play. I mean, he's going to play 32, 35 minutes. So he's going to have to match up against JV for at least half the time, right? There's no way Mark Dagnall's going to sit Chet. Try and say that a few times quickly.
Right.
JV's in the game. So, no, I'm in full agreement. You know what I like about what Willie Green did to start that game? I don't know if you guys remember that last regular season game against OKC. They put JV out on Josh Giddey. Well, guess what? Josh Giddey got hot and destroyed him. So in this game, in that first playoff game, he had JV guarding Chet, who it feels like a mismatch on paper, right? Chet's more mobile, can shoot the three. But you know what? I think it worked out to the Pelicans' advantage. So on the Pel side, I hope that Chet plays as much as possible. Cause I honestly like the way JV handled, the way Pelicans' defense handled it. And, right, on the other end, they've got nobody that can match up. And you're right, Jalen Williams is a little bit better, but he doesn't really give him anything offensively. I feel like the two threes he made him was so fortunate for OKC because he's not a dependable guy. That's why he was left open, wide open to shoot all those threes. But normally he doesn't give you anything offensively, and that's why he doesn't play many minutes. Mark Dagnall wants guys that can play on both ends of the court. So actually having Jalen Williams plays in the Pelicans' hands. So please feed JV, make them go to Jalen Williams, and I think that'll work out better for them this time around.
Ollie, I heard this stat today, and I had to ask you about it because I was like, it can't be true. It's not possible. The Pelicans, when trailing entering the fourth quarter,
boo.
Are they really 0-24, Ollie?
They came so close both times against the Lakers and then last night against OKC, but it's still winless.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I've been tracking that for like the last month. But yeah, it's true. If anybody wants to look at fun stuff like that, there's a place called Hoop Stats.
Okay.
And it breaks everything down by quarter. Whether you're trailing, tied, or leading, it tells you basically what your win-loss record is. And yeah, I just can't believe it. So they're due, right? They're due. If they're trailing at the start of the fourth, I'm going to call a win.
What are you looking for in this matchup tonight that will need to be different, but, you know, being more successful from three-point range for the Pels, that needs to change from, you know, game one?
Yeah, I'm looking at CJ.
Okay.
Since
yeah.
Brandon Ingram, we're not sure if he's 100% yet, and he's got Lou Dort. If he's not 100%, I hope he still continues to act a decoy. I thought he made a lot of great passes that the shots just didn't drop. Right, he had 12 potential assists, only picked up 3 assists. Usually that number's a lot better when you're getting your opponents that good of looks. But either way, I think CJ, right? He's been playing well over the last, month and a half overall. He's had a couple of 30-point games in him, I think, in this series. And I think tonight's going to be one of them. I don't care who they put on him, but as long as it's not Lou Dort, I think he can score against them.
I think there's just a couple good matchups in this series that I'm keeping an eye on. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had 28 points in the first game. But for me, Ali, I don't know how you felt. It felt like a quietish 28 points. And this is a dude that people have propped up in the MVP conversation. I don't want to call him overrated because I think he's a great player. But you cannot tell me that he is better than Luka Doncic or Nikola Jokic. Like, you cannot convince me of that by any stretch of the imagination. And it's almost like I don't want to say it's his 30-point stretch is like an aberration necessarily, but if you kind of let him get his, I feel like the Thunder, if you can defend guys like Jalen Williams and Chet Holmgren, who had a really quiet night in that game one, Jalen Williams is the one that really scares me. Like, if you're talking about X factors on this team for the Thunder, Jalen Williams is a guy that can go out and get 20 points on any given night. I think he averaged just under 19 per game this season. That's the guy that you really need to lock down, especially if, you know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's having a good night.
Right. I agree. Look, Shai, if he can't get to the free throw line, say 10, 12 times a game, he's going to struggle to score. And I think we saw that. By those 28 points, it took him 24 shots. But he's not a 3-point shooter. So if this game is as physical as I think it's going to be, and if the referees still largely stick to a playoff whistle, yeah, he's not as scary, especially when, of course, you've got Herb and Dyson sitting in the wings. So, yeah, Jalen Williams is the one I'm looking at, too. But I'll tell you what, Trey Murphy, I thought, played the best by far. I don't think it can be argued. The best game for a Pelican on both sides of the ball, right? He was probably hitting shots the most consistently. He was making some stuff off the dribble happen. And, of course, he had, I think 3 blocks and a steal. So he was everywhere. And I think that's the kind of skill set you want to throw on Jalen Williams, who I think, right, he wasn't efficient either. But then he had, 19, 20 points, but it took him almost that many shot attempts just to get that total. So, yeah, I agree Jalen Williams is in number 2, no doubt about it. But I think, like I said, Pelicans match up well. That's why that length, that versatility, I think it's going to be another – thing that gets them to almost to the finish line. It's just, you're going to need some offense, right, to push you over that from somebody.
And then, Ali, you and I talked about this a little bit off air when I was bringing you on over. It feels like a must win, because if you come back to New Orleans down 0-2, where you haven't played well in the Smoothie King Center, it puts a ton of pressure on you to tie the series up and win both games and kind of hold serve, so to speak, at home court. Or unless you're going back to OKC, you know, down 3-1 potentially for a game 5, that's not where you want to be. If you tie it up tonight and get to 1-1, then it's a completely different series. There's not as much pressure on you to win both games at the Smoothie King Center, where you've struggled at times this year.
Absolutely. Yeah, just like we talked about that, like you said, right before we got on air. I echo those sentiments exactly. You got to get this one tonight, so then that way you can just grab one of these 2 at home. But I will say that I'm expecting a much different kind of home environment, to where – I remember in the last couple of playoff series the Pelicans were in, it was so loud, both versus the Suns a couple of years ago and then, of course, the Portland Trailblazers in 2018, that it didn't even matter what their home record was. Energy, the emotions, just kind of lift the players up, that I don't think being at home is going to hurt them as much. I know that they were much better on the road, but like I said, I think playoffs are a different animal. Plus, you come in as a player with a lot more amped up, you know, your emotions are sky high because it is the playoffs. So while I agree with you, Charlie, I don't want to take that chance, but I'm not going to say it's the end of the world. Let's say if they do lose tonight and they got to come home and win too.
I'm glad you brought up the crowd there, Ali. I feel like Pels fans could, you know, learn a little something. Tune in tonight. Watch this OKC crowd, because man, oh man, they were rocking in game 1 for sure.
Yeah, that's why I'm glad the Pelicans announced that they're going to be opening up the doors 2 hours on Saturday, right, ahead of time, plus concessions half off. So get there early and be loud, because you're right. that home environment was everything for OKC. It was during the regular season. You saw in that first playoff. I heard from people that were there in the building, they couldn't even hear themselves think. Right. So when players were doing interviews or just talking amongst each other or just trying to talk to referees, they couldn't even hear one another. So I hope it sounds like that here in New Orleans.
Just make sure you download the app so you can follow our draft coverage as well on Saturday from 11 to 6.
Because it's
gonna
be busy.
There's a few things going on Saturday. If you like golf, if you like Jazz Fest, if you like the draft.
We got it all.
Pelicans at 2:30. Man, this is big. I agree.
Ollie, always appreciate.
And we've got great weather. Let's mention that too.
Ollie, definitely always appreciate your time. Let's go get a win tonight so we're talking some positive ball coming, you know, the future.
I hear you guys. Look, we've had some luck. When you brought me on, usually some good things happen, especially after a loss. So let's hope that streak continues.
I love it. Talk to you soon, Ollie.
All right, guys. Have
Thanks,
a good
Ollie.
Night.
That was Ollie Cosell, NBA writer that covers the Pelicans, always gives us great insights.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.